As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to another Friday edition of Football and Grits. I'm John Hayes here with you every Friday with a special guest picker on the show. Thanks to Tony B last weekend. Really nice job. Only missed one game here on the show. This week we have a man who's developed a new nickname over the last week or so. I call him Second Half Stew. That's, of course, Stuart Mandel, the editor-in-chief of The Athletic College Football and the host of The Audible with Bruce and Stew. Stu, welcome to the show. We're thrilled to have you.
Thanks, John. I guess if I were a football team, I'd definitely rather be a second half team than a first half team.
So can you explain to the audience the origin of Second Half Stu? It has something to do with second half lines and the success that you've had in the last couple of years looking at those lines.
So I'm not a hardcore gambler by any means, but first of all, this season I haven't gone anywhere, and last season I started going to fewer games, spending more full days on the couch, and just to liven things up a little, I thought, okay, I'll just place some small bets throughout the day, you know, just if something catches my interest. And what I quickly realized is, why bet on the game before they start when you can bet at halftime? It's like somebody already completed half the SAT test for you. So I can't give you an exact record, but I have done very well, generally speaking, because I just feel like once you have a feel for how the game's going, like, and I told you this offline, my favorites are when the heavily favored team is losing and not playing well at halftime. They don't have to come back and win by the margin they were predicted to before. Now it's like halved. So that's kind of where I've made my money, and I want to emphasize a very minor amount of money.
Not only you've had success picking second halves, but recently, especially last week, and by the way, you can find Stu's weekly picks against the spread at The Athletic every week. He writes a column, and you're coming off of a pretty hot week, aren't you, Stu?
Well, it was winning the lottery, really, right? I mean, I pick games against the spread every week. Some weeks I do better than others, but this was the first ever 9-0 week, a perfect game.
I mean, just hearing you say that out loud, I mean, the amount of people that can say that they picked nine games against the spread in college football and the end result being 9-0 against the spread, like you said, it is like hitting the lottery. I wonder what the actual odds.
I mean, I had a losing record going into the season, so it's not like this was like part of some larger pattern. Just everything broke my way, including the fact that I picked when it was published on Thursday, I picked Tulsa to upset Cincinnati, and that game got postponed. So we'll never know if it would have gotten to 10-0 or not.
So what our job now is to stay hot is to look at the spread this weekend. Yep. We've got four games in the SEC, and we've got, if you've listened to the show so far this season, you know there's one thing that we like on the Friday edition of Football and Grits, and that's a home dog, and there's three on the board. The games that we're going to pick are Alabama at Tennessee. The Vols are a 21-point underdog at home. Auburn at Ole Miss. Ole Miss catching three at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. South Carolina at LSU. LSU is a home favorite, a 7-point favorite, which I'm interested to get into that game with you, Stu. Miles Brennan, his status is uncertain, could be a freshman quarterback. That number seems pretty high in that situation. And then finally, Kentucky at Mizzou. Mizzou a 5.5 home dog there as well. Let's start with the big boy on the block, and that's Bama heading up to Knoxville, Tennessee, where they are a three touchdown favorite. Stu, where do you lean in this one?
Yeah, I don't think this is one where you can really justify the home dog. If Georgia's defense couldn't slow down Alabama, I don't think Tennessee is going to. And obviously, Tennessee still has the same quarterback issues. It's going to be very hard for anybody to beat Alabama or come close to Alabama this year, much less beat them, unless you too can put up a lot of points. So I will pick the Tide to cover.
I agree with you on that. And one thing that I like to do on this show, Stu, is think about factors off the field. You know, so many times you look at a college football game and you think, okay, how do these two teams match up on the field? And there's only one concern that I have with Alabama in this football game is that the buildup to Georgia was so intense. That game was arguably the game of the season in college football, regular season anyway. And now they've got to turn around, go on the road, go up to Knoxville against a hungry Tennessee team who just got embarrassed against Tennessee. So for me, it's like the only possible way that I could see Tennessee competing in this game is if they are motivated. And I'm not quite sure that Jeremy Pruitt is that coach, that he's able to galvanize that locker room and keep them in the game. This line to me could be more like Tennessee plus 35.
Yeah, because first of all, while there are a lot of teams out there that do the whole post-big game letdown, Nick Saban's teams, I'm not saying they're immune to them, but you don't expect that as much from his teams. And Tennessee doesn't feel, I mean, we're not there. We don't know what's going on inside the locker room. But Tennessee doesn't feel like a hungry to say. I think there's a bit of desperation seeping in there. Because, hey, they had an 8-game winning streak. They were feeling really good about themselves, and they've just been, you know, punched in the stomach and returned to reality the last couple weeks. So this game hasn't been close since 2015, and that was a much different – that was the Jake Coker era Alabama teams, where if you could play good defense, you'd be in the game. That's not what Alabama is in 2020.
No. So Stu and I were on the same side. Alabama minus 21 on the road. I think you'd have to be playing with house money to take Tennessee. And a lot of times, Stu, I would advocate for a long shot on an outright big dog at home. I wouldn't touch Tennessee money line with a 10-foot pole in this football game. Bama's, I would say, 99.9% chance going to win this one.
Now, is there any caveats on this show? I don't know. Do you guys, like, what if Mac Jones has a false positive the morning of the game? Like, do we get to throw out our picks in that scenario? Because, you know, God knows what could happen in this college football season.
Yes, and that's the one thing that I always like to do, Stu. We always record the show on Wednesday. We did last week as well before. And the funny thing is, Stu, is that we recorded the show last week with Tony Barnhart Wednesday, and Nick Saban was coaching. On Thursday, he wasn't coaching, and then on Saturday, he was coaching again. This college football season has been, you know, impossible to predict as far as who's going to be on the field and who's not. But, you know, in this situation, Stu, I think you could play quarterback for Alabama.
Yeah, I like Alabama's chances even if that scenario were to happen. Now, if Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, and Devontae Smith all went to dinner and got COVID, that maybe when now the Vols have a shot.
The Alabama passing game is phenomenal, but Najee Harris in the backfield, I think that you're going to see a steady diet of Najee Harris this weekend. Tennessee fires its defensive line coach going into the game against Alabama. That's a weird
one. That wasn't a good sign either.
No, it's absolutely not. So it's the Tide on the road at Tennessee. Look for them to put the pedal down, especially in the second half. Run the ball down Tennessee's throat and win that game by more than three touchdowns.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's stay in the SEC West and head down to Oxford, Mississippi, where Lane Kiffin and the Lane Train are home dogs. This game, to me, Stu, this number should be flipped the other way.
What I was going to say.
You think Ole Miss should be a favorite in this one, don't you?
I don't know if people have been watching Auburn this season. Like, you know, whatever you thought they were going to be going into the season, they're not that. They have not been impressive. Bo Nix has taken a step backward, in my opinion. And then Ole Miss, Ole Miss is 1-3. However, we know how close they came against Alabama. I don't think Matt Corral is going to throw six interceptions this week. I like Ole Miss to win pretty handily, frankly.
That's a straight-up dog at home. Ole Miss on the money line. I wouldn't disagree with that. And as far as Auburn is concerned, Stu, I can tell you, there's somebody that's watched every Auburn game so far this season, and it's me. And that's because I married into an Auburn family this summer. And my wife watches Auburn games every Saturday, so I keep a close eye on those games. And I can tell you one thing. Bo Nix has taken a huge step back under the tutelage of Chad Morris. Earlier in the week on Football and Grits, you heard Josh Kendall's phenomenal analogy about Gus Malzahn and his hash browns just trying to put too many ingredients in there. And that feels like another situation where Gus Malzahn brings in a coordinator that's supposed to do a great job, and instead he just kind of gets in the way. And it feels like Chad Morris is a guy that could be out of Auburn pretty quickly after the season. What do you make of that hire and now what it looks like a few games into the season?
Well, it wasn't a surprise that he made that hire because, I mean, I remember writing a story when Chad Morris was still a high school coach. I wrote a story when Gus Malzahn was kind of first becoming, I think probably when he had Cam Newton, and interviewing Chad Morris, who was the coach at Lake Travis then, about, you know, I mean, he worshipped the guy. Like, there's no doubt that Gus Malzahn was Chad Morris's mentor. So it's no surprise to me that when they finally had the chance to work together, they synced that up. But, I don't know. It's always hard to say, is it the coordinator? Is it the personnel? Remember, they had to replace almost their whole offensive line. That was going to be a question regardless of who the coach was. So it's not looking good right now. Now, you never know. Even Gus Malzahn's two best teams, 2013, 2017, started out slow, and then just like at some point the switch flipped and they were playing amazing by the end of the season. So maybe Tank Bigsby becomes a bigger factor. Maybe the offensive line gets better. I don't know. But based on what we've seen to this point, very disappointing.
You know, I think on Sunday morning, if we look back at this matchup and we're wrong and Auburn does win on the road, I think it's going to be because of a good run game. I think the only way that Auburn can win this football game is if Bo Nix rushes for 50-plus yards, that the running backs in the backfield get the job done as well. Even Anthony Schwartz on the outside with an end around. Bama gashed this team on the ground, and I think Gus Malzahn needs to look at that tape, needs to see what Bama did and potentially recreate that. But Ole Miss is going to put up points too. And this one could be a shootout. This certainly could be a shootout. We'll see how it happens. But so far, two games, Stu. I'm on the same side as of second half Stu, who's piping hot. So I'm feeling good about the weekend. The next one is pretty intriguing to me. And it's because of the LSU quarterback situation. Miles Brennan, our Brody Miller, our LSU reporter, did a great job finding out about an abdomen injury, something that, you know, could potentially sideline Brennan for a bit of time. Ed Ogeron really unwilling to commit to who's playing or starting this weekend. They're a 7-point favorite against a South Carolina team that just beat Auburn. How do you feel about this matchup in Baton Rouge?
Wow, it is really hard to know what to expect when they're gonna be throwing out a freshman quarterback who none of us have ever seen. Now, I will say, obviously, in the two losses, LSU's issue was not its offense; it was its defense. And I don't think South Carolina has the kind. You know, both those teams, Mississippi State and Missouri, just took shots downfield, and their DBs didn't know what they were doing. I don't know that South Carolina has the passing game to be able to truly take advantage of that. I think LSU is going to win. That is a big number, so I'm going to hedge a little bit and say South Carolina covers.
I like taking the points in this situation as well. And the reason why is because every time, Stu, I swear that we talk about Will Muschamp going on the road in the SEC, he's coaching somewhere that he's been before. He's got a chip on his shoulder. And heading into this season, I think that you could say that the coach in the SEC whose seat was the hottest was Will Muschamp. And Mike Bobo comes in there. They have a new quarterback as well, Colin Hill. And all of a sudden, they've got a really underrated running back as well. All of a sudden, South Carolina is a team that if they go into Baton Rouge and get this W, it's a team that's building some momentum in an SEC East that, you know, quite frankly, isn't strong. And the SEC as a whole is down right now. I mean, before the season, could we be talking about South Carolina going into Death Valley and coming out with a W? I think you got to have that real conversation today. Take the points against the freshman quarterback. LSU is going to be motivated, but with the news that came out this week about self-imposing penalties because of recruiting violations and the crazy news with Odell Beckham Jr. Stu, did you actually think that cash was fake when he was handing that out at the national championship game?
I just felt – I was just embarrassed because I was there and I saw Odell in the locker room, and yet I somehow missed the – often when you cover a game – you'll find out after you go back to the press box about something you didn't even know about. And I did not see him handing out cash. I did think it was ridiculous when they tried to claim it was fake money.
Yeah, I mean, like, of course Odell Beckham has $2,000 in cash. Have you seen the contracts that he signed in the NFL? He's not hurting for cash. Those were real $100 bills.
There's picturing no Odell Beckham going into, like, a Halloween store or something and being like, yeah, I need... Do you sell fake money? Because I need $2,000 worth of it.
Yeah. I mean, he could have brought $10,000 on that field and just gave it away. That's how much money Odell Beckham Jr. has. There's a lot of off-field distractions is my point right now at LSU. I don't necessarily know if there's any leaders in that locker room to kind of pick this team up off the mat and get the job done. This is an important game, so you could potentially see LSU winning at home. If there was 100,000 people there at Tiger Stadium, it would be a different task and a more difficult task for Will Muschamp and the Cox. But with only 20-30% capacity and a team that is unbelievably inexperienced, I think South Carolina has a shot not only to cover the 7, but to win straight up as well.
You want to say, well, what do you? I said I think LSU wins, but South Carolina covers. You willing to go straight up outright money this, line this on is, the Gamecocks?
Yes, this is a situation where, you know, I take that plus money. I do, and I say LSU proved me wrong. I'll take that plus money before the game. South Carolina has a good running game that travels. See if you can run it down the LSU defense's throat, which, you know, can't stop anything right now. We've got one more home dog, Stu, on the slate this week. It's a small SEC slate, only 4 games. We're picking them all this week, the first time this season we've picked all the games. It's Kentucky at Mizzou. Mizzou's a 5.5-point dog. And Kentucky's coming off of a big win versus Tennessee. That's where my lean is right now. I love Mark Stoops' program, what he's been able to do in Lexington. How do you see this one, Stu?
Yeah, that's a tough one as well. Kentucky is definitely, I mean, Kentucky's defense is unbelievable. They're still very limited, obviously, in what they can do on offense. But I think I'm going to, here, we need to disagree on one of these, right? So I think I will take the Tigers to cover. I love the way their new quarterback is playing. And I just think that Eli Drinkwitz has a good thing going so far. Remember, it's kind of crazy to look back now. Alabama only scored, 34 points there? Then they beat LSU. Like, I think we're all operating the assumption that Missouri is just kind of a pushover, but they really aren't. I'll go with Mizzou.
Mizzou, probably one of the surprises. What would be the surprise in the SEC if Arkansas didn't look so good? But Arkansas is clicking right now with what Sam Pittman and Kendall Briles have been able to do with that Hogs program has a little bit overshadowed Drinkwitz's first season in Columbia. And, yeah, we're on different sides here. I like the Cats. I like Kentucky going on the road to get the job done. I think it could be a field goal game, though. I think you might get me with 2 points in that hook. I think Kentucky could end up winning with a field goal at the end of the game. They played that close one against Ole Miss. But they're feeling good about themselves. They got a big win against Tennessee. Should be a good game on the road.
By the way, we should have seen this coming after, and I'm fully part of this, the media hype for Mike Leach and Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin. Of course, it's other two new SEC coaches, Sam Pittman and Eli Drinkwitz, that are off to the great start so far.
You know, I'll tell you what, as far as Drinkwitz is concerned, I know I'm in Charlotte here, and I've talked to some people about his work at App State, and people kept saying, he did a nice job with Scott Satterfield's guys. So for me, just hearing that, I thought, he's got no chance in the SEC. But 4 games in, and it feels like he's got a chance to not do what, Gary Pinkel's done there, but to be better than Barry Odom, that's for sure. Those are the 4 games this weekend. There's home dogs all over the slate, Stu. There certainly is, and I can promise you this, that if Alabama and Tennessee is a close game at halftime, I think second half Stu is going to have to make a play on Alabama there.
I'll be watching that one closely, no doubt about it. It's not just picking the teams, by the way, also over-unders, because at that point you have a pretty good feel for how the game's going. And I think on Saturday I had 4 halftime bets. 2 of them were, a certain team, and 2 of them were unders.
Well, let's stay hot, Stu. I'm ready.
Now that I have tooted my own horn for a half hour, this is going to be a rough weekend, I think. But, go into a positive attitude.
That's right. It's all about vibe, and I do believe in that, Stu. When you're hot, you got to feel good about it. You got to feel good about the vibes going into the weekend, and you can't be afraid to pick dogs. And the good news is that we both have 2 dogs this weekend. And it's going to be a great weekend in the SEC. And by the way, it's not just SEC picks that Stu's making. Check out that column at The Athletic. You can go to www.theathletic.com/grits. Sign up, where you can get all of Stu's weekend picks as well. You can listen to The Audible with Bruce Feldman. Catch that episode as well. Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network on that show this week, previewing the Big Ten season. Until next week, I'm John Hayes. You can follow me at John Hayes on Air. You can follow Stu at SL Mandel. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Andy Staples, David Ubben, they'll be with you recapping the weekend on Monday.